Father, I just thank you and I praise you. And I give you all honor and glory. And Father God, I do thank you that your Holy Spirit is in this room. I thank you, Father God, that you do abide within each and every service. And Father, I thank you for how you're teaching your people. I thank you, Father God, that the blood of Jesus covers what you just said, and the enemy cannot steal the seed. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to say this because I just said seed. And you know what's been coming to me for a month now every day? It's a seed for men to put their seed. It's a sin for men to put their seed on the ground. And I forgot where that's at. You're not allowed to masturbate because that's a seed. That's a child that God wanted to bring into the earth. When you find a scripture before we go, I'd appreciate it because it's in the Word. And I don't know why God's been giving me the every day for a month I've gotten that. And I'm sort of tired of hearing that. I'd like to hear something more positive than that. Amen. And I know women masturbate too, but you aren't carrying the seed. The men does. But you should quit that too. All right, let's get into, I've done messed y'all up and everything else, got y'all ready for my word. Now let's get into the word. I didn't give this weekend because I had a lot of ifs about it in my own mind. And then other people helped me get more ifs. And then some people encouraged me. So finally I sat down and God had gotten it all together. And this is what we're going to get. I was sitting at home and God said, you are in a vortex, V-O-R-T-E-X. I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up. And a vortex is a mass of whirling fluid or air, especially a whirlpool or whirlwind. And then a vortex can be good and it can be bad because I found out that New Age uses it. But New Age takes all God's word and twists it for their own purpose. This is not a New Age thing. Brother Aaron helped me. Thank you, Brother Aaron. This is why I'm giving this because he assured me that this was of God. This is of God, and it's not a New Age thing. You know, we don't believe in that junk at all. Never have, never will. All right, now a vortex, this is what God said. A vortex is a place of complete safety where you enjoy all that heaven has to offer. It places you in the very center of my will and allows you to follow my still small voice of instruction. When you are in the vortex of my will, all things are possible. And what was it God spoke to me? You are in a vortex. So I'm believing because God told me I'm in a vortex and I'm the pastor of this church. This church is in the vortex with me. We're all one mind and one accord. We're in unity, right? Let's read what God said a vortex is. Again, a vortex is a place of complete safety where you enjoy all that heaven has to offer. It places you in the very center of my will. I think that's neat. And allows you to follow my still small voice of instruction. When you're in the vortex of my will, all things are possible. God said, I am drawing all those who are willing into this vortex of heaven. So now let's stop there. Tonight, this is what we're going to be come to the altar for. He says, I am drawing all those who are willing into this vortex of heaven. So you're going to be come to the altar saying, God, I want you to draw me into this vortex. That's what it's going to be about, all right? God said, in this place, you will see what I see, and you will accomplish all that I have spoken over your lives. I am forever working on your behalf, drawing you into the very center of my will, so all things become possible. God said, we have entered this vortex at this given time for the reaping of the harvest. All right, before the harvest couldn't be brought in, but now, in this vortex, all things are possible. In this vortex of time, God says, the enemy cannot stop the harvest of lost souls. The left is leaning as far left as it can, but the righteous ones are clinging to the promises spoken over them. Then God said, you cannot transfer this love. In other words, I research this vortex. And in this vortex, you get all of God's love. And that love is imparted into you personally. And then God said, this is why God said, you cannot transfer this love. It's your love for you, only and only you, all right? When you came over to the righteous side, God said, you decided to throw away all evil and step into the vortex of time. You decided that you would stand the test of time no matter what may come. So if you're going to come to the altar tonight, God said you decided to throw away all evil and step into the vortex of time. You decided that you would stand the test of time no matter what may come. Then I looked up Ephesians 3:14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit, through what? His spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians church. You want to read that again? Paul said, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. And he said, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Read that verse 18 again. And many of you have the power to understand, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is God's love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty work, power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, I want you to experience all of God's love. And I know there's people like in prison say, God can never love me after what I just did. Yes, he does. He brought you in this earth. He loved you before he brought you here, and he's loved you all your life. And God said, this vortex of time is like no other time in church history. Never was and never will be again. This time frame is vitally important in the scheme of heavenly plans. This time frame is vitally important. This time frame we're in right now is vitally important in the scheme of heavenly plans. In my heavenly courtroom, all things are placed in perfect order and then move forward to accomplish all they are meant to accomplish. There are no rebuttals, only perfect precision. Isn't this awesome? You know, I notice God's doing everything from the courtroom now. And if you aren't praying if you aren't going to the courtroom and praying, then you're praying amiss. You aren't in the perfect place where God can take care of your situations. God said, there will no longer be a sliding scale in my people. I thought this is interesting. They are at their perfect pitch, and they will remain there. This perfect pitch is exactly what they have been training for while on the backside of the desert. Amen. Absolutes on all sides. This is God speaking still. No more guessing. He said absolutes on all sides. No more guessing games. No more wondering if. No more thinking, have I disqualified myself? Old things have passed away and all things have become brand new. The enemy will flee and he will not intrude into your walk with me. And I thought this was neat too. He is disqualified in your race for the finish line. You have persevered and you have won. You know, you're in this race and the enemy's been trying to make you lose this race forever. But what did God say? He is disqualified in your race for the finish line. You have persevered and you have won. Let's take a look at King David in 1 Samuel 17:41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with a shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And a Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God, Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He said, "I just come in the name of the Lord. That's all I have. I have nothing else." Why do we think we have to call and get the 50,000 people backing us up in prayer? Why can't we just go before God in the name of the Lord? I want you to think about this. Verse 46 says, "This day the Lord," David speaking, "this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Why do people not want to come to church? You don't show them there is a God. You're always around, walking around defeated. You're always walking around, you call yourself a child of God, and you're talking just like the devil, like the world. So then it says, well, then David said, "And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Then all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." He said, he's not only going to give us this giant, he's going to give us a whole army. Amen? Come on. We are just not standing up to the enemy the way we ought. And we're allowed, and you know, we have people in here trying to, "I'm 10 days drug free." Well, big whoop. Why isn't it, "I'm just drug free"? I'm sorry, but that's where my mind goes. Why are you counting the days? Are you waiting for the day when you slip? Are you hearing this? My God, deliver me from drugs. My God, deliver me from alcoholism. My God healed me. So why are we waiting around for the other shoe to drop? Make sure you tell your men that. You know, God is for you. He's not against you. And he doesn't halfway deliver you. He doesn't halfway heal you. He does a perfect job. In Psalms 31:11, "My enemies despise me, and even my neighbors have turned away. When my friends see me in the street, they turn the other way. They are afraid to be around." I'll never forget the time whenever this pastor saw me in Penny's, and she ran around and hid behind the clothes because she didn't want to run into me. This, every time I read this, I think about that. "They are afraid to be around me. People want to forget me like someone already dead, thrown away like a broken dish. I hear them whispering about me. They have turned against me and planned to kill me." And David said, "Lord, I trust in you. You are my God. My life is in your hands. Save me from those who are persecuting me. Please welcome and accept your servant. Be kind to me and save me. Lord, I am praying to you. Don't let me be disappointed. The wicked are the ones who should be disappointed. Let them go to the grave in silence." See that? David was confident that the enemy could not take him out, even in the onslaught of warfare, because God was saying, "It is still your time." The devil can't take any of you out. Are you understanding this? He just cannot take any of you out. You're taking your own self out. You're the one to say, "Well, you know, am I going to be healed tomorrow, the next day?" Who cares when you're healed? You're already healed in heaven. Just go about your business and just let it manifest itself. Let it be the miracle that everybody needs to see. Are you listening here? I wouldn't want them to send you out in the field with a giant. You'd run the other way. All right. Then God said, "You are not dwelling among the tombs of adversity." All right. So then I looked that up. Mark 5:1-8. This is about, you know, Jesus in this region where the demons were. So they went across, and that's Jesus and his disciples, the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." See, what's wrong with us that we just can't stand in front of somebody and tell the devil to leave without screaming for 2 hours? The Spirit of God is not strong enough in you, and the devils don't have to listen to you. But if you're full of the Spirit, the devil has to listen to you, and they have to go. We are at a place in our walk with God where we need to know we have power or we don't. Come on. And then, like God said, you are not living among the tombs. You are among the living, and you are prepared to spread life wherever you go. We're not full of demons. We should be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit should be ruling and reigning in our lives, not some devil, right? And why do we walk in fear? Oh, I'm afraid to say anything. They'll just say I'm this, I'm that. Well, you just join the club. They'll say it whether you say anything or not. They'll say you're of the devil. Didn't they do that to Jesus? I was thinking about this today as I was praying. I'm thinking about, you know, Jesus had his 12 disciples. There was one he truly loved more than all the rest, and that was John. But, you know, his disciples were always arguing. And I noticed every time he told a parable to the unsaved, he'd have to go home and then explain it to his disciples. That's the way it is in the house of God today. You know, God speaks and you all go, what do you think God meant by my prophetic word? Duh. Take it to God. Somebody else is going to twist it. I shouldn't have said that. Anyhow, you know what I'm saying here? We don't have enough faith in the Holy Spirit. If we're not walking the Holy Spirit to the place where we can say, God, I just need your Holy Spirit to explain this to me. God spoke it, and if you didn't understand, I don't see how you cannot understand your prophetic words. I can't. They're plain. They're simple. Get it right is what they're saying. Amen. You're going to do a great ministry for me. He didn't tell you what day, hour, or anything. Are you understanding this? You're fighting a battle that's already been won. We sang that tonight. All right, so God said, I'm going to read this again. You're not living among the tombs. You're among the living, and you're prepared to spread life wherever you go. Now, is that really true about you? You know, think about this, because you're going to come up here and tell God you want to be in the vortex. He said you are among the living. I know you're that. And you are prepared to spread life wherever you go. Now, you don't believe that, but God's saying you do. See, God said you are. You are prepared to spread life. He didn't just say, just grace is. He said you, all of you in the sound of my voice. You are prepared to spread life wherever you go. Quit allowing the enemy to tell you you are not. Are you a child of God or are you a wimp? You know, I have a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics in my home, and it amazes me how they'll follow the devil right down into a grave. But God talks to them, they say, duh. And you really don't want to quit what you're doing because you don't understand. What is it to understand? You already know for 20 years the devil's been taking you down into a hole. And now you know that you've sat in the house of God, or somebody's told you about God, or you watched on your cell phones, or however you got it, and you know there is a true God, and he wants to deliver you from all evil. Why? So he can use you to free somebody else. Not so you can walk around with your head out and brag and sticking your chest out and say, look how big I am, God save me. Well, that's a big whoop too. You know, come on. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dear friends, you are like visitors. And okay, this is a good one. Listen to this. Talking to y'all, all right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dear friends, you are like visitors and strangers in this world. We are visitors and strangers since we're saved. So I beg you to keep your lives free from the evil things you want to do, those desires that fight against your true selves. People who don't believe are living around all around you. There's unsaved people all around you. They may say that you are doing wrong, so live such good lives that they will see the good you do, and they will give glory to God on the day he comes. In my house, people say I'm a hypocrite. I don't care. I know I'm living for God. I know I'm doing what God says. And it addresses it right there, doesn't it? The people around about you that are in sin, they're going to say bad things about you. Or, you know, it just say if you were a drug addict or what, a pervert, whatever you were, and, you know, you're living your life, you know, right, the way you should. Well, we'll wait. They're going to fall. They're going to fall. You know what? If that was me, I'd make sure I didn't fall, boy. You know, I would make sure that I would not fall ever again. I would prove that devil wrong. I'm just like that, you know. Instead, well, you know, they're going to say I'm going to fall. I'm around the drug. They're making me drink. They're making me watch videos. Come on. Nobody's making you do nothing. You do what you do because you want to do it. You have not yet. If I'm hurting your feelings, good. This will get you saved, maybe. You know, you need to quit blaming other people for doing what you want to do, doing what you're doing because you really want to do it. But you don't want to take the fault for it, so you say somebody else made you do it. What's that? The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. All right, where am I at? All right, Jesus, here's what God said again. Now, please don't leave me. We're about finished. I like this. Children, never push me. Allow me to lead you, allow me to lead and you gently follow. Allow me to lead and you gently follow. I will never lead you where you cannot follow and do my will. Are you understanding that? Merlin, he'll never ask you to hold a men's meeting if he knows you're going to fall. He won't do that. Are you understanding this? God never asked you to do anything. One time he told me to have a revival, which we did. And he said, nobody's going to come. He said, absolutely, nobody's going to come. Guess what? Nobody came. He said, but I want you to do it. So we did it. We went to all the advertisement. We went through the whole thing. And we had our revival. Just us. Obedience. God wants obedience. But he also told me nobody was going to show up. Now, see, if I didn't love God the way I could have, I thought, why should I spend all that money on advertisement? Why should we do this, 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 and this? Why should we be fasting and praying and nobody's going to show up? But we held a revival. And God moved among us. He moved among us, the ones that were here. All right, God said, I have only love and compassion for my family of true believers. As an earthly good shepherd continually leads his flock in his in safe pastures, I do the same thing as your good shepherd. Yeah, so in other words, Merlin, if you're out there leading your little bunch of sheep out there in the meadows and you're taking real good care, make sure they get water and feed, and God does the very same thing to us. He's a good shepherd. He never throws us to the wolves. I don't care what anybody says, he never does. And God says, I care for all of my sheep and desire that none go astray. Before the foundation of time, I had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can go and read that in Ephesians chapter 1. God said, I gently took you by the hand and taught you of heavenly warfare and how to win every battle. I led you by the still waters and taught you of peace that surpasses all understanding. Now here we are, God said, ready for the battle of the ages. Prepare to defeat all darkness on all sides. The harvest will be brought in, even though the battle rages hot around about you. See that? You know, darkness isn't going to quit just because we're out there bringing souls in. God said this is an end time dispensation and all will go as planned. All will go as God has already planned it to go. God said the heavenly courtroom knows the strategy and monitors the battle as it goes forth. Is that the way it works, Aaron? The heavenly courtroom knows the strategy and monitors the battle as it goes forth. God said, when you have a hiccup, I thought that was cute, an angel will fight the battle with you. See that? God's so good, isn't he? You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to question. You just need to be and do. As you go, never forget you're in the vortex of my overflow of love. All right? In Christianity, I looked this up. In Christianity, the dispensation or administration of the fullness of times is thought to be a world order or administration in which the heavens and the earth are under the political and or spiritual government of Jesus. According to the Bible, a dispensation is a period of time in which God relates to human beings in a particular way. And I looked that up because he's talked about we were in a dispensation of time. This is an end time dispensation and all will go as planned. And so it's said here, according to the Bible, a dispensation is a period of time in which God relates to human beings in a particular way. And he has us in a vortex. This is our time to shine. And then he says, go, faithful ones, go forth and conquer. Bring in the harvest. You couldn't ask for a better teaching than this tonight. I serve a God who loves me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I serve a God who does not take me out of the battles, but he's in the battles with me. I serve a God who sees me when I cry all alone at night because I'm lonely and just can't understand why things are going the way they are. But God is your mainstay. He's always with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. It doesn't matter what other people look at you and make fun of you. That's fine. One day, they'll stand before God, and they'll be judged for how they came against you. God told me years ago, never vindicate yourself. I don't explain anything I say to anybody. If it came a day when I knew I wasn't working for God, I wouldn't be here. I would never get behind a pulpit again. But because I am behind a pulpit, I know that my Father uses me. And I don't care what you say about me. I do, but I don't. All right, you know what I mean. It's not going to take me out. So where are you at tonight? See, I know how much God loves me. I do know that. And he's been giving me some really neat revelations lately. And I know he's going to be giving them to the world soon. Well, let me put it this way. He's going to be giving it to you all so you can take it to the world. Right now, there's a lot of fighting going on in the churches about prophets. False prophets, true prophets, no prophet. You know, I think we have so much work to do. And the church is fighting over stupid stuff. You know, we're not going to go there. We're in a vortex of time. And I don't know about you, but I think we're sort of special here tonight. Or don't you? Don't you feel special? That God has us in a wonderful place. And we are his vessels of honor that he wants to work through. The altar's open. If you want God to take you into that vortex of time, into the very center of his will, where the enemy can never stop you ever again, no matter what he throws your way.